Hebrews chapter 11. I've never been a fan of doing part one, part two, part three, but when I started this chapter, I thought, well, that's really what this is the fruit of faith, and that's what this is all about. And so I figured I'd just title it part one, part two, part three, but until I got to part two, and then now it's like, well, it would be the fruit of faith, but there's also something specific that we're looking at. So I titled it today, The Faith of Sarah. And first, I wasn't sure that I'd do a separate sermon on this. I thought I'd do Abraham and Sarah together. But when I looked at it, I think I thought I should do this separate, because there's some things that are a bit different, or that are worth looking at as the faith of Sarah. She was the wife of Abraham, who is called the father of faith. So some will now say that Sarah is the mother of faith. That's fine in a sense. She also had faith. That's why she is listed in Hebrews 11, verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself receive strength to conceive seed. I'll mainly look at verse 11 and 12 today, but I still want to read up to verse 16. Let's read Hebrews 11, verse 11 through verse 16. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and as good as, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. What it doesn't mention here is that Sarah did not have faith initially, but something changed that she had, because the only thing that is mentioned here is that she had faith. We see in Genesis 18, when God by an angel came to Abraham and Sarah and told them that they would have a son, it says in Genesis 18 verse 12 that she laughed within herself. She didn't laugh very loudly, but she laughed within herself. That's what it says there. So that's why when the angel said, "You laughed," she said, "No, I didn't laugh." Then she lied, because she had. And it makes it clear there that the angel knew and said, "Yes, you did laugh." So I just want to point out that what is actually brought out here is her faith. Her unbelief initially was not mentioned, just like we have later the story of Rahab. By faith, in verse 31, by faith the harlot at Rahab perished not with them that believe not. But it doesn't mention her lie. Or in James 5, another example is, it talks about Job's patience, but where it brings that up, where it brings up his patience, it doesn't bring up the impatience that he had some of the time. Because it wasn't always just patience. And so, we see what God has put in the scriptures here for us is where they had faith. And I think he has that there so that we can be encouraged in our downtime, not by their unbelief, but by their faith. Or, I said in our downtime, or in our weakness, in our place of temptation, that we can look at these stories and have faith, and be encouraged to trust in God. Sarah had issues. She was barren. The Bible says that she could have no children. Whatever specifics the doctor would have called it, I don't know, but she was barren. And now she was old. She was already 90 years old. Past, it says here in Hebrews 11, she was past age. She was past the age of childbearing. It was physically impossible for her to have children at this age, we could say. And yet, it was not impossible, for the Bible says that with God, all things are possible. Sometimes we want to put boundaries and say that, okay, well, within the realms of what I think is possible, God could do anything. Well, this was a case of every human being would say, no, that's impossible. And then it happened. And it says that through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Look at the specific words here. Through faith also Sarah. Just before this, we had read about last week Abraham's faith. And so now it says also Sarah. This is not a unionized faith where Abraham and Sarah both have a part in the same faith, or in other words, Abraham has one part and Sarah has one part, and then together they have faith. No, they each had faith. So Abraham had faith, and also Sarah herself, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength. Again, the Bible talks about the blessings of marriage, and even in the case of a believer and an unbeliever, that the unbeliever is blessed for the sake of the believer. And yet here it says Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and that was through faith. And so it's as if she wouldn't have had faith and she wouldn't have had a child. And so God said, next year you will have a child. And then it was because of her faith that she actually was able to conceive and deliver the child. Both of those are mentioned here. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. So I'm kind of looking at the specifics here, but then I'll bring out some principles from that. But the effect of her faith was that she received strength to conceive, and then also because she judged him faithful who had promised, even though initially she didn't have faith, she had unbelief, we could say, she laughed about it, but then she judged God faithful, and so she was able to conceive a child and to deliver the child. Both of those. And they're both big things. They're both things that God makes to happen. And we could say they're maybe they're some of the biggest things in a family's life, and especially in the wife's life. Sarah, which is talking about here. It was her own faith. And what I mentioned with the blessings, I like to always mention the verses so that you can look it up yourself too if you want to, or later. It's in 1 Corinthians 7:14, where it says that the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. There is a blessing if one of the husband or wife is a believer. And I'm mentioning that because here it's talking about Abraham and Sarah and the faith that they both had. And also, along the same lines, thinking of this faith and that it was her own faith, sometimes today in society, if you go to the extremes, and some will say that, well, the husband needs to submit to the wife and the wife needs to submit to the husband. And when they go to those extremes, or that is the liberal extreme, and then the other extreme goes to, no, the husband rules over the wife and makes the wife do whatever he wants and doesn't care for her feelings. And then if you take that to its logical conclusion, well, then the wife could just inherit the faith from her husband, right? The husband rules over the wife, and the wife just has that same faith that her husband has, right? And I'm trying to show you here that the scriptures talk about the faith of Sarah and how important it is for a husband and wife and for us to see that each person individually is responsible before God and has faith or doesn't have faith. Each person individually. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. See, that's a practical thing in life that God has designed in such a way. But that doesn't say that, oh, then I would trust my husband for my faith. No. If you're the wife, then you have to trust in God and then obey God in submitting to your husband. That is God's design, but submitting does not include faith. That, okay, I submit to my husband so God will accept me now because my husband has faith. No. Submitting is one thing. That is obeying God, but you need to have your own faith before God. And of course, it's a faith that God grants, but it's a faith that you need to have personally. Sarah, it says here, received strength. It says in the Bible that all things are given for our learning and for our instruction. All things in the Bible. When it says here that she received strength, this was physical maybe, but it was also to believe. She received strength to believe that this would happen and that God could bring it to pass. But it's not just meant for physical strength, that she now was a lot stronger and she was a bodybuilder now. That's not what it's talking about. Not only physical strength, but also spiritual. There are many things in the Bible that talk about spiritual strength in our temptations, when we're weak and we feel like giving in and just following the temptations into sin. We can receive strength from the Lord to actually overcome those sins. In the same book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 34, it talks of many others that have not been mentioned in Hebrews, who have quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, all of that by faith, out of weakness were made strong. See, that's also one of the things that is by faith. Out of weakness were made strong. Or if we look in Ephesians 6, a very popular passage about the armor of God, it says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If we think about the strength that Sarah received from God through faith, and we just look at all of Scripture, we see that this is not a physical strength that she somehow mustered up and said, "Ah, oh, I can do it, I'm gonna do it." Today, nowadays, sometimes, I've seen a picture of someone who's, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There'll be a verse and then there'll be someone with huge muscles. You know, the thing is, it says here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not your own strength and power to impress God. You have to realize that in your weakness, God can make you strong. God can help you to overcome. It's not your strength and it's not your armor. Ephesians 6 verse 11. Put on the whole armor that you built for yourself. No. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on God's armor. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is not so that you can wrestle your neighbor or your friend or your enemy or fight him. This is not the strength and the armor that it's talking about. But it says that you're able to stand against the devil himself. And it says what the armor is. Truth, righteousness, the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, praying with all prayer and supplication. All those things are spiritual tools that if we use them, God will give us strength. God will give us spiritual strength to overcome temptations and to overcome Satan. So this strength that we can receive from God is spiritual strength, firstly, and most importantly, it's spiritual. Sarah herself received strength. Paul also knew about weakness. He said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10, Paul says that Jesus said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, Jesus' strength, is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We also should remember that the Bible says, and I'm bringing this up because it's talking about Abraham and now Sarah. And Sarah receives strength. The Bible says that the husband is to love his wife as the weaker vessel. So, even as a grown man, I feel weak sometimes. And sometimes when temptations keep coming, sometimes I start feeling physically weak. But the strength can be renewed from the Lord. And so I'm bringing that up because the husband is to love his wife as a weaker vessel, to be considerate as a weaker vessel. So even the wife who is physically the weaker vessel, through faith receives strength, not only to conceive but also to deliver the child. What is faith? Well, about Abraham it says in Romans 4:19 that he considered not his own body now dead. He felt as if his body was old and dead and useless and so on. But it said his faith made him not consider his own body. Why? Because he trusted in the Lord. See, that's what faith often is. If you're tempted to sin, if you're tempted to do wrong, and you dwell on your own strength or on your own power or on what you will do, well, then you'll fall. But if, like Abraham, you consider not your own body, you consider not your own strengths, you consider not the things that maybe would be helpful in this world, but you trust in Christ, then he'll give you strength. Abraham considered not his own body. Romans 4:19. Paul also said in Philippians 4, verse 12 and 13, I know how to be abased, or I know how to be put very low, and I know how to abound, to have a lot of things. But then he said, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He says he knows how it is to be weak, to be put down, to be put low, and to abound, to have a lot, to be blessed, we could say. And yet he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Paul knows and realizes that it's only because of Christ, like he also said in 2 Corinthians 12 that I just mentioned earlier. Also, as a believer, we can see the scriptural truth of that without Christ, we can do nothing. I'll mention a few more verses. John 1:16 says, "Of His fullness have all we received grace for grace." It's because of Christ's fullness and blessings that we have received what we need. In Acts 17:28, Paul said, "In Him, in God, we live and move and have our being." We can't even move. We can't do anything if it's not for God's strength. In Colossians 1:17, it says, "Christ is before all things, and by Him all things consist." If it wasn't for Christ, everything would fall apart. Or Hebrews 1:3, that God upholds all things by the word of His power. Or 2 Timothy 2 verse 1, where Paul said to Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I think the longer a Christian lives, the more he realizes that we don't have anything from our flesh, from ourself, that God will say, "Oh, that's a good thing. That's what I need." We have things in our flesh that God will use. God will say, "I'm going to put some of my grace together with your weakness, and I'm going to use you." But God doesn't say, "Oh, this person went through a lot of hard stuff. I need this person. Let me get him into my kingdom. I need this person." That's not how God thinks. God is the one through whom all things consist. God is the one that has all power, all strength, all wisdom, all knowledge. God is the one who can give us strength. There's an issue here that is not much spoken about today that I wanted to touch on. The delivering of a child. It says that Sarah was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. This part in here, "when she was past age," is showing us the miraculous nature of it, like more than anything else. And at the same time, we know that this is perhaps the most trying and critical season of a woman's life when she bears a child. And I'm mentioning this because it's connected here with faith. And this is not to say that an unbeliever won't have children. That's not what I'm saying. But God gives a special strength to Sarah because of her faith. By faith. Faith is not something that should be exercised only in salvation or in acts of worship. Okay, now I want to worship God. Now let me use my faith to worship God. It should be, faith should be something that we use, or maybe it's a wrong word, but where we trust God. I could say faith is something that we should exercise in all things in our daily life. We should trust God in all things in our daily life. Eating and drinking, working and sleeping should all be done in faith. Trusting in the Lord. That's what it's about. We know that many have died during childbirth. Sometimes even the children haven't survived. But Rachel, for example, Joseph's wife, in Genesis 35:18, says that she bore a child, but she passed away and the child was living. And then I want to bring up another verse, 1 Timothy 2:15, that is maybe a little bit hard to understand, but there's an encouragement in there. 1 Timothy 2:15, it talks about the woman who was deceived, but then it says, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." Now, what it exactly all means, I'm not sure that I can say, but I think this is speaking of redeeming, in a sense, that which was messed up. The woman was deceived, it says, and now she can be saved through childbearing. This is not talking about a the salvation that, oh, if you have a child, then you're not automatically going to heaven. That's not what it's talking about. But there's a kind of redemption in that. You can train up your children to follow the Lord and to be useful vessels in God's kingdom. There is a reversing of what happened originally when, through deception, the world fell into sin. And now, through childbearing, there can be raised up followers of Christ, or people who learn all about God and are encouraged even from a young age to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also along the same lines of what a great miracle it was, God can turn nature upside down to accomplish His purposes. Like when the Israelites were fighting and it looked like they might not win and and God stopped the sun so that it would remain in the sky for a day, that they could finish the war and actually win. That was not ordinary. Or how God brought water out of a rock and He made an iron to float. Or He sustained 2 million people in a wilderness for many years. If we look at those things naturally, try to feed a 10-person family in a wilderness somewhere. Just think about 10 people. Well, it'd be hard to do in a wilderness. But did you know that God could feed over 1 million? And for many years, day after day after day, is nothing for God. He can even halt the things of nature, we could say, or turn them around to accomplish His purposes. And that's the key here. Everything that God does is for His glory. God does not do things for our glory. God does things for His glory. And that should always be on the forefront on our minds. God accomplishes His purposes for His glory. And I hope we get an encouragement from that. If God can make a woman who is over 90 years old have a child, be healthy, and so on, what thing is there in your life that God cannot do? You see, when God does not answer our prayers, or let's begin a little bit earlier. If God does not do what we would like for Him to do, first of all, have you asked God? It says in James 4 verse 2, you have not because you ask not. Have you asked God for that which you think that you should have, or that which you think should be changed or should be done, and so on, and need that you have? Number two, what's your motive for asking for it? Will God be glorified by what you're asking Him for? Or is it just for selfish pleasures? Because James also says that if you only ask for something because you want to please your own flesh, that's also a reason why God is not answering prayer. I hope this encourages us in seeing that God can do anything. Nothing is too big for Him. And if we trust in Him, He will work all things for our good and ultimately for His glory. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things work together for good to them. And so if God, who can do everything, the strength and the source comes from Him. If we trust in Him, He will be glorified and He will work in us to work everything that we go through for our good and for His glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for these accounts of people who have trusted in You, and that there is an encouragement in reading how they have believed You even when they couldn't see how something could happen, and yet they trusted You. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do the same. If there are things in our life that feel impossible or feel like they cannot change, or the needs that we feel we have, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to trust you, knowing that you want to give good gifts to your children. But ultimately, you work out things for our good, even when we think we needed something else, but you know even better. And we thank you for that. Help us to trust you more. Help us to love you more. Help us, Lord, in our lives where we don't know how something's going to turn out, to not be anxious about it, not fret, not worry, but to trust in you, because you are God. You see everything, you know everything, and you are all-powerful God. We thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.